Good morning. Thank you for joining us online. We're excited to share what God is doing in our midst and want to keep you up to date with the following announcements. Lockdown is a time of prayer. Unity lies within the power to hear the same thing from God. Join us on Monday nights for intercession from 8 to 9 p.m. No more intercession at 6 o'clock in the mornings. Explore with us the book of Daniel every Tuesday morning from 6:30 till 7 a.m. We discuss one chapter at a time with a week of exploring in between. Let's search the historical context and relevance of Daniel's prophecies together.
You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord.
Our ministry is funded by the generous giving of our members and friends. Kindly support this ministry by giving towards our cause. We are all affected by the current circumstances, but sadly some are more affected than others in this difficult time. Please help us to help those in need by giving towards our BodyServe account.
Good morning, everybody. The tithes and offering message this morning is really summarized in one word, and that's eternity. I really want to encourage you all to think about your motivation for giving and if it's really got an eternal mindset or motive behind it. If not, please do go this week and reassess your heart where it's at. I mean, yeah, the last week I've been going through the same thing, and I've just been reading Psalm 39 from verse 5. It says here, where David says, Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. Surely for nothing they are in turmoil. Man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. It's with that I leave you today, is to really trust in God, put your hope in him fully in the, you know, in the way you give as well, and know that your reward is in eternity. I'm going to leave that with you today. Be blessed. Amen.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Sunday morning service. It's so wonderful to be able to congregate as the people of Christ, the people of God, and what a privilege it is to be called a disciple of Christ. This morning, I wanted to start off with some random facts. So, here it goes. Did you know that it's illegal to own just one guinea pig in Switzerland? Or how about, did you know that the 29th of May is Put a Pillow on Your Fridge Day? Or what about, cherophobia is the irrational fear of fun and happiness? Or what about, did you know that in 2017, more people were killed by taking a selfie than actual shark attacks? And did you know that the following sentence can be said the same, can be read the same forwards as it can backwards? And that sentence is, do geese see God? Now, you may wonder why I wanted to speak about random things. Well, when we look at 2020, well, it's been a bit random, hasn't it? The whole COVID thing. And the first thing that comes to mind is just how random it's been. None of us could have fathomed or imagined just how random this year would have been and everything that's happened. What a strange time we have been through, this COVID thing. It's been a time of rest. It's been a time of having a lot of time to do very little, actually. And it's been incredibly difficult for all of us, and for different reasons. And we've all got our reasons, and some of them are right and some of them are wrong, but nonetheless, we've got our reasons. We've got new routines, we've got new habits. As we've been confined to our spaces, our home spaces are now our workspaces, they're now our entertainment spaces, they're now our rest spaces, they're now our places of worship. It's everything wrapped up in one. And the combination of these things has really brought about some good things and, well, some bad things. I know personally I've struggled being confined to home. One of the things, for example, is that I've really struggled to sleep. I haven't been as typically mentally stimulated as I would if I was in the office and surrounded by people. So this has had a knock-on effect that because I'm not tired, I can't sleep. And the more tired I became, the less I could sleep. So just a real perpetual bad cycle of not getting any sleep. But on the other hand, I really enjoyed the lack of the busyness, the ability to sit on the couch, to ponder, to think about what is important, to pray, and really consider life. And one of the things I thought about is, in a year's time, in 5 years' time, what would I have wanted to take away from this period? What sort of habits and routines would I have wanted to take away from this time? What exactly have I learnt, actually, in this time? And for me, the answer is I want to slow down and I want to focus on what's important. I didn't realize how busy I was until I was stopped dead in my tracks. And not only was I stopped dead in my tracks, but everybody else was. I couldn't even make my excuses to say, actually, you know what, I'm going to go over here because, well, over here is just, you know. Everybody was in the same situation, so there was no way that I could avoid the situation. I had to deal with what I was confronted by. We really had to deal with being home 23 hours a day. That's if you took your hour's walk out once a day. But what I've learned is what I want to take forward with me, and that is, I believe that God has used this as a time of rest for us. A time of recalibration, and we really got to take that on board and see how we're going to move forward. Now, don't get me wrong, this time really has had some very big impact, and I think we've yet to see the full fallout of this time. We know that people have lost their jobs, we know that people have lost their companies, liquidations, all manner of things, and it's really such a big topic to cover, and I don't want to blanket it with a general sweeping statement, so I'm not even going to try. All I do know is that God has allowed it, and yeah, just how we discuss it and move it forward is a difficult topic, and so I don't want to do it any disjustice. And so I'm going to park it to a side and continue along the theme of our busyness. So one of the scriptures that I came across in Matthew 24 kind of highlighted some of this busyness, and I really enjoyed looking at this particular verse during the lockdown. In Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, it speaks about Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says to them, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." And I really just enjoy the simplicity of this verse. And before I discuss it more, I want to put some context around it. If we look at Matthew 24, and we start right at the beginning, Jesus touches a couple of topics. He speaks about the signs of the end of the age. The abomination of desolation is the title of the next section. The coming of the Son of Man is the next section. And the section after that deals with the lessons of the fig tree. You will know that the fig tree is in season by looking at its fruit. And then lastly, this scripture that we've just covered falls into the section of no one knows that day or hour. So why do I want to talk about this verse? Well, I think today more than ever we are living in the end times. And why would I say that? If we look a little bit closer to Matthew 24 and we start at verses 3 to 8, it says, "And he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?' And Jesus answered them, 'See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains.'" 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5, also describes a little bit of the end times. And he says, "But understand this, in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Wow. those are some signs, and I'm sure each one of us can agree to the fact that we see that all the time. We see that here, now, today. And so we can only imagine, we can only think, we can only assume that we are definitely living in the end times, more so now than we ever have. And so I just want to go back to this verse and let's refocus on what we originally started with, where it says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So Jesus is speaking to the disciples about what the end times will look like. The verse then contrasts all of a sudden to the time of Noah. And we think, okay, the context of Noah is that God asked him to build an ark, whilst those around him were clearly very busy. The Bible says they were eating, drinking, and marrying. So if we go back to the original scripture in Genesis, we see that Jesus has left, he's left a big piece out of the story when he's speaking to the disciples. If we go back to what's happened in Genesis, there's actually more to the story. If we have a look at Genesis 6, it says from verse 5 to 8, it says, "The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, 'I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." So we see that there's a whole lot more to the story. But when Jesus is speaking to the disciples, he doesn't include that detail. The only detail he includes is that, well, people were eating, drinking, and marrying. So that really makes you wonder, why is he highlighting this particular issue? Well, Jesus tells another parable, and I want to jump now to Luke 14, and maybe we can tell the same type of story, but in a different way. Let's see what Luke 14, verse 16 to 24 has to say. But he said to them, so this is Jesus, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at that time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and there is still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste the banquet. We see here Jesus is actually referring again to the end times. But this time, we see it's wrapped up as a banquet. If we reference Revelation 19, verse 6 to 9, we see this banquet that Jesus is referring to. So here it is from verse 6. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the mighty, almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. So, as Jesus speaks about the banquet in Luke 14, he again touches on the topic of busyness and the excuses that people make as a result. The man prepares a banquet and invites his guests. But as the RSVPs roll in, well, we see that some bought a field, some bought oxen, which needed to be attended to, and some got married. They couldn't attend because of their busyness. And in fact, well, the host at the end says they won't even taste the banquet. The host has such an aversion towards this busyness and the excuses that subsequently come. When we look at the types of things that the people in these stories, these parables, have given, or the things that they are busy with, essentially they aren't bad things. Buying a field, buying oxen, getting married, eating, drinking. But the problem came when people were too busy to recognize what was important to God. If we really want to simplify this message down to bare bones, we see that people used excuses and busyness not to prioritize the things of God. We see exactly the same sort of thing in the days of Noah, when Noah was making the ark. People were eating, drinking, marrying, right up until the flood started. And these things too were not bad things. But unfortunately, it meant that they missed what it is that God wanted them to do. Busyness. Let's have a little think about busyness in our own lives. Have we maybe missed what God has wanted for us because, well, we're too busy? Busy with things, work. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say work is wrong, we need to make a living, but Sometimes we can over-prioritize work for different reasons, or tasks, activities, or things that we need to go and do. Where have we maybe been busy in our lives? And I'm going to give us just a very short while just to think, how busy are we in our lives? And you know, when we think about busyness, we may even think, well, you know what? I've actually been busy with a lot of good things. I've been busy with a lot of godly things. And Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Jesus is very clear here on busyness. On this occasion, he addresses religious busyness. If we're going to be busy, let's be busy with what God has asked us to be busy with. And if we look at how beautiful the tasks, or just how beautiful it looked when Noah was busy with the things that God wanted him to be busy with. But I want to put a pin in that thought around Noah and what he was busy with, and I will come back to it in a second. I just first want to go back to the original verse that we shared earlier. So we were sharing from Matthew 24, verse 37 to 39, where it says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." It makes you kind of wonder, why is Jesus contrasting his return to that of Noah? So what I thought, let's follow the thread of thought as we continue to read through Matthew 24. Jesus in verse 40 to 42 of Matthew 24 says, "Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken away and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." In verse 45 to 47, he says, "Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions." So Jesus pulls out two parts about speaking about his return. He says, there will be two people, one will be taken and the other will remain. And he reminds us to stay alert. Let's contrast this to the time of Noah. When we look at the time of Noah and the people in the time, they were busy doing ordinary things. Busyness, for want of a better word. And before they knew it, some were taken and some were left. Some were allowed to live, and others received a death sentence. And this will be much like when Jesus returns. Some will be taken up into eternal life, and others will possibly receive a death sentence. There's obviously more detail which follows around the scenario in terms of the tribulation, but I'm not going to cover that off in this particular discussion. The second point that Jesus makes when he's speaking is Jesus asks, who are faithful servants? And when we contrast this to the story of Noah, we see that Noah was a very faithful servant. The Bible says he was righteous and that God walked with him. Let's have a look at his life. The exact words used in Genesis 6, verse 9 says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God." He kept himself set apart from what everybody else participated in. He lived by God's ways and standards, and this allowed him to be used by God. When God looked down at the earth, he was the only one that God saw as righteous. The second thing that we see about Noah is that God asked him to do a crazy task. A crazy task. Imagine having to build a massive ark. And, well, regardless of how strange this request was or this task that God asked Noah to do, Noah was obedient. And this task was actually very specific. We see that God says, build an ark which is 140 meters in length and 23 meters wide and 13.5 meters high. So not small by any means, and needed to be made of cypress wood. It was also required to have a lower, middle and upper deck. And this took years and years to build. So it was by no means a quick task. Noah had to spend many, many, many years being faithful to the will of God. And if I think about how I am, would I have maybe said to God, God, are you sure? Are you very sure this is what you want me to do? I mean, maybe there's something a little bit more fun, like, or maybe there's something a little bit more aligned to my skill sets. But if it has to be an ark, can you not just like send people to come and help me so it takes a little bit quicker? Because I mean this is going to take years, and not only when I finish the ark, I then have to bring animals. I mean, I have to go and gather these animals. And I think, you know what? Many of us would ask these questions, or many of us would have this type of attitude. And in some ways, it comes so natural to us. And we see that, well, what happens in the spirit and what happens in the flesh, well, they seem to clash a lot, don't they? And I think Paul summarized it so well in Romans 7, where he says, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. In verse 22 to 25, he says, for my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then he says, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Scripture tells us that there will be a fight between good and bad. But not only that, between our body and our mind. It is natural for our bodies in their sinful state to become complacent or bored or doubt what God has called us to do. But Jesus has given us the ability to overcome it. We may be called to do something or many things that will not necessarily come naturally to us, which may be difficult, but there is a way through Jesus Christ. There may be sacrifices that we need to make. We may need to have to pick up our cross and follow Jesus. And some days may be harder than other days, but take heart. Although God asks us to do sometimes things that are contrary to our flesh, it will only be for a short while. The perspective is that one day we will be with God in heaven for all eternity. And when we compare our days here to our days in heaven, well, the time here looks so small by comparison to eternity. Eternity is forever. It is big. So, I'm mindful that we have the ability to endure. We have the ability to push through. And when I think about this, I think, you know, let God look down on us and think, wow, look at my faithful servants, like he did for Noah. I am mindful that speaking about pushing through, having the ability to endure, can come across a little bit like performance-based or a little bit religious. Now, a few weeks ago, Hercules spoke to us about abiding. abiding in the presence of God. When we come and sit at the feet of Jesus, when we delve ourselves into the Word of God, something beautiful happens. We find our strength renewed. We find ourselves rejuvenated. God gives us the ability to go on. So when we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on Him, we sit, we soak ourselves in His presence, we find out what His will is, and then we go. We don't go and then come back and say, oh God, by the way, can you just bless that? We've finished with that now. Will you bless it? We're going to go on to this now. Will you bless that when you're done there? Thanks. It's really about sitting at the feet of Jesus, being Mary's and not Martha's, coming to the feet of Christ and abiding in His presence. And one of my favorite parables, which speaks about the 10 virgins and the oil and waiting for the bridegroom, it speaks about how there were 10 virgins and 5 of them had enough oil and 5 of them didn't. And I'm pretty sure this oil comes with abiding in the presence of Christ. Those 5 virgins that had enough oil, I'm pretty sure it was because they were able to abide in the presence of Christ. They kept topping up by being in the presence of God. Whereas those who hadn't been spending time with God ran out. They ran out of steam, they ran out of oil, they ran out. And so they had to go off. And when they went off, they missed the bridegroom. So today, I really want to encourage you. If we're going to be busy, let's get busy with the right things. So let's reflect on what we've gone through today. When we look at how busy people were in the times of Noah, so it will be at the end times. Sometimes being busy with godly things can be outside the realm of God. Sometimes being in God's will is hard and takes sacrifices, but is so worth the effort. Abiding in our Lord is the only way that we can ensure that we remain in God's will. So, if we're going to be busy, let's be busy with abiding in Christ and the things that are important to Him. Let Him say at the end of time, well done, good and faithful servant. Let Him say, yes, he or she knows my will, and he or she did my will while they were on earth. And what we have before us, it isn't a burden. It is complete joy to abide in the presence of God. It's where we find our joy. It's where we find our peace. It's where we find our hope, our contentment. And it's a complete privilege to be in that place. So this morning, just before I pray, I also just want to encourage that if any of you are hearing, you know, this message for the first time and have really been touched and would want to consider giving your life to Christ, please contact us. The contact details will be below. We're happy to pray with you. We're happy to facilitate you through what needs to happen next. And for those of us who know God and may have, well, got a little bit carried away with being busy, let us come now and submit it to God and ask Him to make our way straight, our path straight. So let us pray. Father God, thank you that you are such a wonderful Father. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. Thank you, Lord, that you walk with us every day. And Lord, thank you that we get to be on earth for a journey, Lord. And thank you that we can journey with you, Lord. And thank you that you continue to walk with us, Father God, each and every step of the way, Father God. As things become illuminated, as you make things clear to us, Father God, we are able to, learn from it, grow from it, Father God, and continue to seek you and your counsel, Father. This morning, Father God, we just want to come and say sorry where we have been busy, Lord, busy with our things, busy with the wrong things, busy with what we thought you would think was important. And we ask this morning, Father God, that we can just really come and sit at your feet. Lord, we want to come and abide in your presence, Lord, because we know that it is such a beautiful place to be, Lord. Father, It is wonderful. Help us this morning, Lord, to abide in you, Lord, just to sit at your feet. And thank you, Father, that you continue to show your grace, your mercy, your kindness towards us, Lord, as we walk this journey out with you, Father. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that we can love you. And Father God, yeah, we just want to come and lay down our lives before you and ask, Father God, that your will be done in our lives, Father. And we just come and ask this now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much for your time today. I just want to say to all of you, I've really missed you, and I'm looking forward to seeing you all again. And God bless you all. I pray that this message finds you well. And I really hope that, yeah, that you have been blessed by this message. Please contact us. Please feel free to chat or go on the Facebook Messenger. The details are below. So please contact us. Sending you all lots of love. God bless. Bye-bye.